Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Pastor Allen, for leading us into the communion this morning. It's a great joy once again to be in the house of God this morning. There's a few missing this morning. I know me because of the weather. Some are out of town, but we want to continue to pray for them. But if you know there's someone that is at home today, I encourage you to give them a phone call after the service and say, listen, we missed you today at church. We just want to say that we love you, and we want you to just come on out to one of our services again. So just encourage your friends or your families to come on out on the services, because what happens is when they miss for 1, 2, 3 weeks in a row, they become comfortable, and then they just want to stay home and not come out because they want to watch the soccer games or they want to watch something else. The football is just around the corner, so we just want to encourage them to come on out. Amen? So this morning we want to also welcome once again Joyce, welcome, and I'm just so glad that you're here with us. May the Lord bless you this time with us here in Edmonton, Alberta, cold Edmonton, Alberta. Okay, I know it's minus 20 today here, and I know probably Jamaica's plus 35 or something like that, but there's the warmth of the Holy Spirit in this place this morning, so we warm our hearts this morning with the Spirit of God. Amen? So this morning I want to share with you... I want to continue the series on the teaching of Jesus, but I'm going to just pause it for a moment and pause it for a couple of weeks, because next week there's another message that God has laid upon my heart. But also this morning I want to just share you a message that just God has placed me this almost 3 weeks ago, but I just want to share with you this morning with you all, and I just pray that it will encourage us this morning. So if you look at a title that for this morning message is, I Play to Win the Game. And this is what I want. We play to win the game, amen? So I don't just play just to play. I play to win the game. Okay, I play hockey on Thursday nights, ball hockey. And the first time I arrived there in this rink and I started playing hockey, the first thing that the person says, we're just playing to play. We're having fun. You don't have to get serious over here. We're just playing to play. And I look at them and says, are you for real? Like, I'm not coming just to play. I'm not coming here to waste my time and making that clock click until time's out and I go home. I'm here to play to win. I don't know, are you with me this morning? When you play a sport, are you playing just to play or you play to win? We play to win. So I have this goaler is like this, and the ball is coming, and he leaves his legs open, and the ball is like that, and the ball goes in the net. He goes, oh, we're just having fun. No way, man. I play to win. What is going on with you? Put your stick down. So I want to show you some pictures. It's not about hockey, but something else. Look at this, how people play to win. Look at this Jamaican player. He plays to win. He takes that ball and he holds it on his foot and he says, no one's going to try to get it. No one's going to try to get away with it. I'm here to play to win. Put another one. Here's another Jamaican guy who makes his face so happy. Be here to play the game. He wants to win. He's not going to say, give me the ball. Here, get the ball. Go away. I'll show you another picture. Look at that guy. Oh, you can't forget about the Italian guy there, huh? Look at Pirlo. He's there. He's there to win. He's going on his knees. He says, I'm going to have to win the game. Show another one. Look at this. And when you play the game, you play aggressively. Because you see that player has lost the ball, and he's going after him. He says, I don't care what it is. I'm going to pull you down because I want to get that ball because I'm here to win the game. And then when you play to win the game, we win the championship like Italy won the championships. That's a goal. Because you focus and you go right away and you say, I'm here to win the game. But then you have some people, like the next slide, are just playing to play. They're sleeping on the bench. You know what this shows me here? In a spiritual sense, the people in the church are playing to win, but the people in the church are playing just to play the game. And they sleep on the pews. And when you sleep on the pews, you lose out the game. You lose out the game. So we need to play aggressively to win the game. And in a spiritual sense, and if you want to live into this world and you want to walk into this world and you want to walk as a Christian person, a solid Christian, you got to play the Christian life strong, aggressively, and carefully to win the game. Because if you don't, you're just going to fall asleep on the bench. Let's not play to play. Don't go through the motions. You play to win the game. And I fear that the greatest danger of today's churches in Canada, we're saying today, is that they're filled with Christians who are just playing to lose the game. Just waiting for the time to run out. They're no longer playing to win the game. They lost their drive. They lost their aggressiveness. They lost their focus, their zeal, their attention to defeat. They are no longer working hard for the service of the Lord. They're just trying to run out of the clock. They just want them to get to heaven and get with eternity right away. And you and I know some people who are just playing to play the game. They're not playing to win the game. And I'm going to show you in a spiritual sense what I'm trying to mention this morning with us. They're no longer working hard to have a marriage that is a great, awesome, strong marriage that exalts Jesus Christ. They're no longer just playing. They're just playing to not, you're just there not to lose the game, but you're just there standing on their side and looking from a distance. They are satisfied with mediocrity. They just want a marriage that doesn't end in a divorce. They no longer are working hard for their children who fear God, who loves wisdom. They're settling with the average. As long as they can be good, they are okay with playing not to lose. They are no longer playing to win the game. They are not working hard in their faith with the Lord to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're no longer working hard to guard their purity. They just want to avoid church discipline and happy to run out the clock and be satisfied. They are playing to lose the game. And this morning I want to share with you young Timothy. Paul speaks to young Timothy. You might say, yeah, that's Timothy was preparing himself as a minister. But this means to all of us this morning. Because if you're a child of God, God is speaking to us through the Word of God this morning. So we want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. There's something extremely important in these verses here. And the verse 11 says, but you, man of God. And I'm going to focus on the man of God for a moment there after we read these verses. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life in which we were called when you made your good confession in presence of many witnesses. Go on. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and in Christ Jesus, while the testifying with Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and whose lives an unapproachable light, whom no eye has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Paul comes to the end of his letter and writes to Timothy and closes his letter out with a final motivation charge. Paul gives Timothy a lot of commands in this passage as we read this morning here. He gives him five commands, but the primary point that Paul is trying to make us realize here in this passage is Timothy is not Timothy. This is what you need to do to win the game. Paul's concerns in Timothy, this is how you should play the game of a Christian life. This is how you work the ministry. The point for us this morning is you play to win the game. You don't play to win to lose. And in a spiritual sense, I'm walking my Christian life to win the game for that crown at the end of my life. I'm not just walking on this earth just to waste some time as the clock clicks until it's over just because you want to get to heaven. But it's something extremely important in those verses there. And I don't want to go into this context today, once saved, always saved. I don't want to go into that context this morning there. But I can tell you one thing, if you're just coming to play, just to play the game, and you're waiting for the time to clock, there's a time in your life that you're going to distance yourself from the word, the true meaning of being a Christian of God, a follower of Christ, and you're going to distance yourself and you're going to separate yourself from the things of God. That's what happens. But in this world, you must pursue, you must fight, you must be aggressive to win the game. You must go forward and you must pursue righteousness and flee
from the desires of this world. We take sin so lightly in our lives. We don't take it as this heavy thing on our shoulder, but sin contaminates us and sin kills the Christian life. So we must take it seriously. When sin has entered into your life, flee from it and pursue righteousness and godliness and love and faith and go ahead where God has called you to go. And we take it lightly at times. I play to win the game. I don't play just to play. And that stuck in my mind when I was playing hockey. Oh, we're just having fun. I'm not just having fun. I need to win. The first point I want to bring out with you this morning is this. You play to win the game aggressive. Now, if you play the game like this, oh, it's okay, guys. Let's have fun. You think you're going to win? You're not going to win at all. Those players pulled shirts. Those players kicked. Those players did anything to get that ball because they wanted to put it in that net. They were aggressive all the way because they wanted to win the game. And it's the same thing with us in our Christian life. We just don't stand there and say, okay, the day has to finish today. No, we got to play aggressive. Because sin is serious. And sin has killed many of our family members because they were just playing just to play. They weren't taking this as serious. So we play aggressive. Watch this, what it tells us here. He describes Timothy, the first part of chapter 6. He's telling him how he's supposed to live the Christian life. And the way Timothy should go about his ministry, that's why he starts in verse 11 and says, but you, man of God. That's what he tells. Before Paul gets into the commandments, he gives two commands for Timothy. Before he does that, he gave them an important key, and that important key is for all of us this morning here. It says, man of God. He wants to remind Timothy who he is and who he serves. And it refers to Timothy as the man of God. A man of God is a description given to man that follows God in every way, who obeys his commands with joy. So if you follow God this morning, you are a man and a woman of God. And he's talking to us this morning. You, child of God. You, man and woman of God. As the way Paul was talking to young Timothy. A man who lives things for eternity, not for the things of this world. That's the man of God. The calling to serve God is a calling to a position of a special honor and equals to all faithful ministers as well as a man of God. In the Old Testament, this title was given to Moses. Moses had authority from God to lead the Israelites. And then we see in Elijah, he had the authority to execute the prophets of Baal. Those were who served on behalf of God. This is a title Paul refers to Timothy. Timothy, you might recognize this. You are going to play the game, and if you're going to achieve your Christianity walk, you must play aggressively. First, you must recognize who you are and whom you serve. And if you are a man of God, and you are a man of God, and because you serve the King of Kings, because you serve the Lord of Lords, if you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you and I are called a man and a woman of God this morning. Church, this text is not just for preachers or evangelists or for teachers or for prophets or prophetees. I believe this is the title that can be applied to anybody who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's not just for me. It's not just for Pastor Allen or for the evangelist. It's for every one of us that's sitting on this pew this morning. You man of God. You woman of God. We must recognize that we're all sent by Him. But doesn't it tell us in Matthew 28:18, therefore go and make disciples? It does not tell just pastors go and make disciples. Therefore go. It means all of us. It says the 11 went out. That means more than just one person. The 11 is everybody that went out. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Men and women of God, to go out and give them the authority by which you go out. We must serve with authority and go out with confidence. Timothy, you need to recognize one thing. You are a man of God, and you have been sent out by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, you man of God. That key there. Many times you probably look at verse 11 and you must not even read the man of God. But there's an important point right there for us. It speaks to us, you man and woman of God. Here it goes. Here are four commandments to live aggressively before the Lord. The first thing this we must do is this in 1 Timothy 6:11. But you men of God flee from all this. Now you're wondering, what is all this that we must flee? Let's look at why, what we must flee. Fleeing from what? We find it in verse 4. Fleeing from what? Go in verse 4, you will see it. They are what? Conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies. I can't even see from here. Controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and even suspicions. Flee from these kind of people. That will poison your heart. Flee from them. If you hear this, stay away from them. Don't you even get close. Shut them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you don't want anything that comes negative towards your heart. That sin will grow into your life and contaminate you, and you will become the same person, conceited. That's a strong word right there. Unhealthy interests, quarrels and complaints, and talk about things, negativity, and harsh words to hurt someone. Stay away from them. Run away. Flee from that kind of people. And at times we sit beside kinds of people like that. And you don't even notice it, but with a while you will hear these words will come into your heart. And all of a sudden you're alone one time and you're going to say negativity, the same thing. Because that has entered into your ears. It's the same thing when you watch TV. Sometimes you will watch the stupidities and it just comes in. And all of a sudden you're even starting to think like that kind of people. Totally wrong. Stay, flee. Don't you even get close to the kind of people like this. That will corrupt you. If you know someone that's talking to you about someone, another brother, another sister, flee from right there in the name of Jesus. And I say it with all my heart because it will just eat you alive. If someone calls you and starts talking bad about the pastor, start talking about the board member, start talking about the church, hang up the phone! Don't even waste your time on that garbage. That's the plan of the enemy, to come into your life and to destroy your life completely. And I'm saying this with my heart, because we hear these kinds of nonsense. We hear these kinds of things. So flee from those things. Don't you even get close. But get close to something that is even better. That's positive. It's uplifting. That is uplifting and building each other up. That's what we're called to do. To build each other up, not to crush each other down. Flee from those things. Men who desire worldly recognition. Proud men who think they know it all. Do you know some of the ones that think that they know it all? They know all the answers of everything in your life. Flee from them. And I say this with all my heart. Verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into the many foolishness and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It tells us there it will plunge people into ruin and destruction. Those are not my words. That is the word of God that's speaking to us this morning. Paul commands Timothy, as you flee from these things, run away from the lifestyle that is aggressive command. Church, we need to choose a side. You can't be on both sides. You want to choose that kind of lifestyle or the kind of lifestyle of following Christ. We must make a choice. And which side are you going to be? That's what we got to think about. We have lost too many people in the churches because of those critics, because of the conceit, because of the pride, because of all the arrogance. We have lost many people in from our sight away from the churches. But if we stand, and what Paul is telling Timothy, flee from them. Don't you even get close to them. That's my prayer. Because when I hear things like that, I shut my ear. I won't even hear you. You can say what you want. I don't even pay attention. And I don't know what it is, but God gives me that thing. That talent or that gift, whatever it is. When someone, I can just be staring at you. You can be talking so bad, but I am shut. My mind is thinking about my lasagna. I really don't care what you're saying. Let me tell you that. God, give me that gift. Shut your ears from that and flee from it. We need to choose a side. You can't be on both sides and believe you're going to make it to heaven. You can't be here and be here and you believe you're going to make it to heaven because you won't make it. You got to choose one side. In a jungle, if you see a lion come towards you, I would say 99.9% will run away. I don't think you're going to go there and say, "Oh, you're so cute." Because there's danger there. And when there's sin, we play with the sin instead of running away from it. Eve was having a dialogue with the serpent. And at times, Christians have a dialogue with sin. At times, Christians have a dialogue with the serpent and speak and just have justification and talking with, has this dialogue with the way Eve had it with the serpent. Isn't that sad? If that lion is after me, I'm going to take a shotgun or shoot it, or I'm going to run. And it's the same thing with sin. If it's there, I won't take it lightly. I will flee from it. Because if I just touch it, it's hard to remove from it. You're going to get bitten. Cancer is going to grow. And what does cancer do? We all know what cancer does. We want to also express our condolences to our dear sister, for the for our dear brother Dean. Dean had went to be with the Lord, and we want to express our condolences on behalf of New Hope Christian Assembly. I know the Sneed family is also there. Dean Edwards is a cousin of our sister. I'm so all over the place. Gina, so it's the cousin and also family with the Sneed family. So we want to express our condolences on behalf of New Hope Christian Assembly. I just wanted to share that with you this morning, just to pray for them. Amen? So we must flee, because you know what does cancer? Cancer kills us. Sin will kill us. It will grow inside and it will kill us. So as Paul is telling them, flee from these things. Stay away from them. But this is something extremely important that we have to look at here today. Run away from the worldliness and run towards righteousness. It says the second thing that we need to do is to pursue is the righteousness. But you, man of God, flee from all and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. What does it mean to pursue righteousness? The word was often translated, righteousness can be also justice or divine holiness. God's standard is what defines true righteousness. His power is what enables us. Unless God is the author, we will never possess the righteousness. No amount of man's effort will result in all righteousness. We're not perfect people. But to be righteous is to be right with God. So if you're right with God, you're righteous. If you're right with Him, you're righteous. In a heart that is right with God results a life that will bear fruit in Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It is the opposite of the other thing that we have just read before. Flee from it, but pursue these kinds of things. Love, joy, peace, kindness, and so forth. To pursue righteousness means we must recognize that we cannot please God in our sinful state. We turn from trying to justify ourselves by our good deeds and instead seek the mercy of God. We desire that He transforms our minds and conforms us to the image of His Son. The next word that we look at is, first we said righteousness, and then look at the next one is godliness. Paul tells the young Timothy to pursue godliness. However, godliness is something that you have to train yourself with. Because if you look in verse 7 and 8, it tells us this in chapter 4 of Timothy. But have nothing to do with the irrelevant of silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has a limited benefit. But godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. A godly life doesn't just happen. You must train yourself. A nice, fit body as myself, you must train yourself. And you must train yourself to have a good and fit body, and you must train yourself in the godliness. It's not just there. You're not going to become just like me if you're just going to sit on a couch. You got to train yourself. Or you lift up your legs and recline and just click those channels and watch Judge Judy. I got to say that, Brother Joseph. But no, you got to get up and train yourself to have a good fit body. Train yourself in godliness. Look at this. For the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life, for the life that you're living today, and also for the life is yet to come. Train yourself in godliness and flee from the corruption, the sinful nature things of this world. Righteousness, godliness, and there's other words. Sorry. It says that many would say, I want to live a godly life. Yet their attitude towards it says differently. And I see a lot of things on Facebook and Instagram. No, I don't spy, but I do see things like that. There are accounts that claim the religious status of Christian, but their pictures say something else. Oh, I serve the Lord with all my heart. Oh, I love Jesus with everything. And then you see a bikini. It's pretty cool. Wow. Oh, I love Jesus with everything. I'll do anything to serve the Lord. World, serve Jesus. And you see your marijuana. I've noticed that there are people who stay away from sin. They are. And they work hard on that. They run away from the worldliness and they do it aggressively. But not aggressively in pursuing godliness and being fruitful. Oh yeah, oh I can control sin. Yeah, I'm good at this. I don't lust, I don't go anywhere, I don't drink, I don't smoke. You're like a perfect person. But then it's the opposite. You have a hard time to love someone. Then you have no self-control, you have no patience. And then you have vice versa. You have someone who has love, who's patient, who's kind, who's... Wow, what a beautiful sister and brother in Christ. Amazing, amazing. But can't run away from sin. They're portraying themselves as something. We need to have a balance. Both. Pursue righteousness, flee from the desires of this world. A balance. You got to be kind and gentle and so forth and self-control. But you also have to flee aggressively away from sin. You must be both if you're called a man and a woman of God. The third thing is found is this. So we found you got to work aggressively. Aggressive pursue righteousness, godliness. Then it says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which we are called when you are made in good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What does that mean, fight the good fight? It's a fight against worldly system and the culture that is produced by the following system. Fight the good fight. Run away and run away from these things that is corrupting our lives. This morning we have an enemy. He's a real enemy. He's not there to fool around. He's not there just to play. He's there to play to win and to play to win to get your soul away from hell, from heaven. That's what he's trying to do. And we as Christians must take it as seriously. And I'm going to play aggressively, flee from the things of the world and pursue righteousness and godliness. Maybe this is a wake-up call for us this morning. Paul commands Timothy to fight. Timothy, I want you to encourage you to fight and keep on fighting every day and don't stop. Take hold, keep on fighting, and take hold on eternal life, the reward. You're going to get there, but don't you give up. Take hold. Fight it! We end up dialoguing just as Eve did with the serpent instead of fighting against him. We are not playing to win the game by playing aggressively. We're not running aggressively. Flee from the worldly desires and run towards godliness. And Paul gives us a little motivation to Timothy. Fourth, fight the good fight of faith. Look, and then goes on. It says, confession in the presence of many witnesses. Confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul was referring about Timothy's baptism right here. This is an important thing though about this. It's significant. Whenever you are baptized in a public setting, you stood in front of witnesses, in front of a congregation, and you're making a confession that the old has gone and the new has come. We have done it maybe 3-4 weeks ago. We've got people who are baptized. The old has gone and the new has come. Make, what does it say? Good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's what you've done. That's what the people that have been baptized here has done. Confessed. Old is gone. New has come in. Confession in the presence of many witnesses. Confession of the men. Paul was referring, like I said, about his baptism. Another thing, point number two that we need to look at is this morning. So first, we need to fight aggressively. And second, when you play the game carefully. You're not just going to play soccer and just kick the ball everywhere you want. You got to play carefully. You got to think. So where am I going to kick that ball to get it to the net? You got to carefully make the right move so you don't lose the ball out of your feet. It's the same thing. In the walk, when you walk with Christ, take the step carefully. If you're getting too close to danger, turn aside. If you're getting too close to something that's going to corrupt you, be careful. And kick the ball where you need to go. This is what's happening. We're not playing it carefully. We're just playing to play. We're not really taking care of it. And say, where is it going to go next? And when we play it carefully, when we play it aggressively, when we play it carefully, you're going to win the game. Am I the only one that wins the game that way? I don't bribe the referee. You see, here's $100, I'm going to win the game. No, we got to play it. And it's the same thing in our walk with Christ. We got to play it. Look at this, it says in verse 13, 14. In the sight of God who gives life to everything of Christ Jesus, who will testify before Pontius Pilate, made a good finish. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What command he's referring to, a general command, the gospel commands to obey or disobey the word of God. You're accepting to follow Jesus Christ despite of the cost. Paul didn't tell Timothy what he ought to do, but he told him how to do it. Keep the commandments and follow the commandments. But his only godly life and being faithful in the ministry was to preserve this body of truth from stain or reproach until appearing. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself holy. Timothy, be careful. Keep yourself pure and holy and stained because you bear the name of Christ. Keep yourself holy and unstained and clean and pure because you bear the name of Christ. Because you are the man and the woman of God. You can't be both. You got to be one. And if you are the man and the woman of God, keep yourself pure. If you are the woman of God and the man of God, keep yourself holy and righteous before the Lord. You can't show yourself to different people, to different personalities. You're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We got to choose one side. It says, I charge you in the presence of God who gives you life to all things. Timothy, This is the God who sustains life. He knows you, and you cannot hide from God. I cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. You, we can fool men, but you can't fool God. So this is the way I charge you, Timothy, to be careful. Then he says, I charge you also in the name of Jesus Christ, Timothy. You confess to Pontius Pilate that he was a king of the Jews and remain true that I confess. Timothy, you made a confession. I want to remind you. Finally, keep the commandment and stain without fault. Play the game carefully and play it aggressively. Point number three. You are playing for the one who cannot be outplayed. He goes on giving the reason for his commandment to play with the game. Play to win the game. He reminds them to flee from sin and pursue righteousness. Flee, fight the good fight, be very careful how to play the game. Paul takes attention off himself and now brings the attention on God. He reminds Timothy, this is the one you're playing for. Who is the one you're playing for? And you find it in verse 15 and 16. You are playing for the God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who is immortal and who lives unapproachable light, who has no have seen or seen. To him be honor and might forever. That's who you're playing for. That's who you're walking for. That's why you are here for. It's for the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is immortal. He's unapproachable. He is the blessed God. He is the ruler. He is the shepherd. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is my life. He is my shepherd. That's the God that I'm playing for. And we cannot outplay him. I can guarantee you that, because he knows everything. Oh yeah, I'm going to walk my Christian life and I'm going to play the game seriously because I know who I'm playing for. What game are you playing this morning? Are you playing to play or are you playing to win? Timothy, this is the God you serve. He is perfectly wise. He is perfectly wise. He will come at the right time. God is perfectly wise. He cannot be outplayed. So play to win the game, Timothy. He's encouraging him. He's giving him directions. He's giving him guidance. He's giving commandments to Timothy. Timothy, take this life seriously. And this is what God is telling us. You, man of God, take it seriously. Don't play just to play. Play to win. He is holy. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the highest king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the eternal one. Such as the Lord deserves an awesome reverence combined with complete humility. To him be honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. New Hope Christian Assembly, don't play the game just because you want to play and wait for the time to end. But take it seriously. I play to win. And I pray that this morning every one of us are playing to win the game. Don't settle to be an average husband. Don't settle to be an average wife. Don't settle to be an average mom or an average dad. Don't settle to be an average single adult. Don't settle to be an average youth. In every way, do it. Give it your all. Give it your best. Strive for excellences. Be aggressive and don't play to lose, but play to win. Now, I want to give you, I used to play soccer with a couple of people. I want to just bring it out again why we should play to win. And I had this little young boy who used to come with us. He was a little bit on the heavy side. But the dad and mom used to say, could you bring him play soccer with you because we want to encourage him to play to lose some weight. So little did I knew that every time we used to bring him on the field, we used to look for him. He was sitting under the tree and eating. He wasn't there to play to win. He was just sitting down and enjoying his food. And at times we can be that way. This is a serious game to play. And we're just sitting down. When is my time going to finish? Can I go to heaven fast? Like, really? Play to win. Because you're going to get something bigger at the end. The crown. Amen? The crown. That's what we're going for. New Hope Christian Seminary aggressively flee from the worldliness and pursue godliness. Let's be the church that does not settle for the average. Let's be aggressive. Let's be careful. Let's play to win the game. Let's all stand for a moment. Maybe this morning you need to examine your life and you ask yourself, how am I playing the game? Examine your life and say, am I playing it seriously? Am I playing just to waste my time? Or I'm really playing because I want to win? Examine your life, examine your marriage, examine your parenting. Even at times, parents need to examine their lives and say, am I really being the right father, the right mother? Am I really saying the right things to my children? Or am I being so negative or so harsh or so hard? Examine yourself and say, Lord, help me to examine that. You know, every time we speak to our children, the first thing we should do is to put ourselves and put our head down, close our eyes and just bow before God and say, God, give me your wisdom to what to say to my children. Because if it comes out of our own mouth, many times we can destroy our children. So I examine myself daily on that. Say, Lord, am I the right husband? Am I being the right husband towards my wife? Am I treating respect? Am I caring for her? Am I loving her? Am I giving her attention? We need to examine ourselves. Examine everything. Don't settle for the average. Let's be aggressive and say, I want to examine those things. Examine your relationship. Examine your ministry in the church. Say, am I being effective in the church? Is it something that, is it being fruitful or not? Am I being okay on the board? Am I being okay in Sunday school or music? Examine yourself and say, is everything okay with me? And make God speak to your heart. Because at the end, it's to bring God the glory, honor, and praise. It's not to bring God all the glory, honor, and praise to yourself. It's to bring all the glory, honor, and praise to the Almighty God and to point people to Christ. So examine yourself. And, you know, and how are we playing the game? Many need to ask the Lord to open our lives and just show the areas that need to be adjusted in our lives. If you need Jesus this morning, if you're here for the first time, maybe examine your heart and say, you know, I don't have Jesus in my heart. I need to surrender myself. Examine. Just say, you know, if you are here this morning, you say, listen, I'm not taking it as seriously. I took Christian life lightly, but today I want to challenge myself. I want to, you know, Lord, to help me and to get back serious and back on the walk with Christ. So every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to pray for every one of you. And this morning, I want to leave you with this, to examine yourself. How are you playing the game? Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for how awesome you are. We thank you, Father, for you have taught us through the scriptures, O God, even how Paul was showing the young Timothy, O God, how to walk with you, how to flee from the desires of this world, from this worldly system that corrupts people, and how to pursue righteousness and holiness and godliness. Father, we thank you for that word that was for us this morning. Father, I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone here this morning, oh God, that took the life, the Christian walk lightly. I ask you, Lord, that you would just touch their lives as they examine themselves, oh God. They would say, you know something, Lord, yeah, I want to take it more seriously, a notch higher, God. I want you just to stay away from the sin that tries to corrupt me, the sin that tries to hurt for me. But I want to get closer to you, God, today. So I pray for the individuals right now, God, who was going through that struggle, Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus to just strengthen that person's life right now, God. And to take this life seriously, Lord. Father, we are here to play to win. We're not here just to make the time click off, oh God, as the time runs out. No, Lord, we're here to play to win the game. And we need your strength, and we need your guidance, we need your wisdom, we need you, Lord, in our lives daily, oh Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that when we can call upon your name, you help us, oh God. And this morning we're calling on to you, Father, to help us, O Father, to pursue righteousness, godliness. To pursue, Father, and go to love and gentleness and self-control and patience and kindness. Help us, O Lord, we pray. We thank you for New Hope Christian Assembly, for everybody that's come here today, Father. We ask you to bless them tremendously in their homes, O God. We ask you to respond to their prayers, O Lord. And we pray, Father, even to give us traveling mercies as we go home, as we go around our tables, O God. Even at that moment, let us examine ourselves and reflect who we're playing for. We thank you. We love you. We, Father, we're so grateful that you have saved us. So grateful that you have washed us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. May God bless you. Have a wonderful day.